core thing that we are solving is for a self-learning singer out there. And for us, just every day waking up with that thought that how can I build a healthy habit for people around the world to learn singing. I think that's what excites all of us at Riyaz.
Hello everyone, my name is Neil Patel and I thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. My guest today is Gopal Krishnan. He's the CEO and co-founder of Riyaz. It's a music learning app that enables you to learn to sing at home, whether you're an aspiring star or a hobbyist singer. Think of it like your 24/7 singing buddy. So in this podcast, he talks about building a venture-funded, steadily growing music learning app that is used around the world. Talks about design challenges, talks about how they deal with feature requests, talks about pricing and subscription models, talks about their technology stacks. He talks about how they get users to download the app. He talks about the edtech scene in India, talks about building his MVP back in 2017. And finally, he talks about his favourite singers and he actually gives you some singing tips for next time you're in the shower. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hi Gopal, thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you Neil, thank you for having me on the show.
Please tell the listeners what you're building.
We are building Riyaz. Riyaz is an application that you can use for learning singing. And this is especially for people who have missed the bus early during their livelihood. I mean, they want to catch up with their passion when they are working or in college. Riyaz helps them to learn singing by giving them pointed feedback on what mistakes they are doing as they sing.
Awesome stuff. And why singing?
Singing is like everybody's passion. I mean, who doesn't want to sing? Right? So I mean, so that way it has reach like no other instrument on the planet. It's been very, very close to my heart. I grew up listening to lots of vocalists, very inspiring ones, and I got into Indian classical music during college, listening to lots of it, attending concerts. I'm super inspired by the legends in Carnatic music tradition. For me, it's super clear that even after traveling the world, it's the same everywhere. Singing is one thing that really connects people.
And what problem are you solving with this app then?
Imagine you want to sing today, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just want to get started with singing. First thing you would do is just open some song and sing along with it, right? But you don't know how you're doing. I mean, you know that obviously you're doing certain mistakes, but you don't know what mistakes are those and how to fix those mistakes to sing better. That's the problem that we are solving with Riyaz using technology. So not everybody has the luxury of going to a teacher and learning from them, especially for students and working professionals for whom the time is very, very limited. This comes at a luxury. So for us, Riyaz solves that problem for them to get the feedback that they need to improve their voice at their convenience, from the convenience of their homes, at their time.
So it sounds exciting there. When did you start and how are things going? Can you share some stats in terms of, you know, subscribers and you know, users, etc.?
Riyaz is a spin-off company from music technology group, Universitat Pompeu Fabra in Barcelona.
Yeah.
We started the company in India. So we started technology MVP back in 2017, but with content, the Hindustani courses, first set of 40 Hindustani courses, we launched it in 2019. And ever since, we have grown quite rapidly with the Hindustani user base, Hindustani classical music user base. We crossed 2 million mark a few months ago. Of them, we have recently launched subscription as well, and we have upwards of about 4,000 paid users on the platform. So who subscribe to learn more from these courses with unlimited practice time on the app. So that's been our journey so far. And now we are expanding into popular music genres, including movie songs, devotional, and Western popular.
Cool. Yeah, let's go back to that MVP in 2017 then. You must have done some research about that. What was like the process? What were the key insights about that?
Yeah. So initially when we launched an MVP in 2017, this was to practice a few basic solfege exercises in Indian classical music. We call them alankars and paltas. When we launched it, our intent was to reach out to people who are already learning from teachers and a few others who wanted to learn by themselves, but in a very formal setting. But eventually, by the time in 2019, when we launched these courses, a very big realization has set in that typically people in the market talk about music education, they talk about under 18 segment who go and learn from teachers. Mm. But when we have launched Riyaz, we have seen that for every learner of under 18 category, we see at least 4 or 5 learners from 18 to 35 age segment. That's because they are not being served at all by the current market solutions, be it academies, online courses or teachers. This is not the mode of consumption or mode of learning that they want to go through. So that's for us is a very, very key insight that has driven us away from the under 18 market and eventually towards this 18 to 35 market, making Riyas a self-learning destination.
What mistakes did you make in the early days then?
Some of the early mistakes have been along the content side. Yeah. So we have started looking for large partnerships with huge academies and institutions. Probably that's not the route we should have taken. We saw that there is a lot more dynamism with young people in these music traditions who are pursuing this with passion. I mean, the value add that these artists and gurus brought to us is immense, right? So it's incomparable with anything else that we have seen. I think that's if I have to go back and fix one of those things, then that would be the first thing. Go straight to the individual artists who are super passionate about teaching and work with them for producing this content. Mm-hmm. Second is that, of course, we have lots and lots of technological components which can be launched and be very cool for the consumer. But at the end of it, what matters is that the consumer builds a habit of learning singing over time, a successful habit. So for that, we need to productize faster than launching the technology that we have built. So I think productization has always to be preferred compared to bringing cool technology out into the app. So that's probably the second thing I would definitely learn from. And if I were to go back, that would be the second thing I would fix.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's talk about product development then. Obviously, you have the initial stages of product development, creating a roadmap, et cetera, et cetera. How do you make decisions about, you know, feature requests then? Because obviously, you can't have everything, like you said before.
Correct. There's an interesting way to question customers that is outlined in the book Mom's Test, right? So that the way we work with our customers is not to ask them what they want to have or what they want to see in the app. Those kind of become feature requests. We completely avoid that. So what we sort of talk to our customers is, what are they doing right now? So if you have music as a hobby, how does it fit into your life right now, week on week? And what are the things you do around it? And try to understand the context and then try to productize some of that context into the application. I think this worked out a lot better than going to customers and asking them what are the difficulties they have or what are the things they would like to have.
Cool. And then obviously you may have had to like kill a feature or a product. What was that process like? And, you know, how did the team react, as it were? Obviously you spent 6 months building something and you're not going to use it.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we have been through that journey where we have seen that there are feature requests and then we have worked so hard on it. And after a few months, you launch it, it doesn't work. So that's when we learn to do things better. And now we sample our thought process in a very lean way. We get an initial validation after which we pursue and double down on that. I mean, I think that those kind of processes get better as you keep running. This is my first startup.
Okay.
Most of my team is also quite young. I mean, median age is around 23.
Cool. And then in terms of the data, then you must have a lot of data then. I mean, how would you use the data to improve the product then?
Absolutely. So we keep track of everything that happens on the app in terms of what people's interests are, where they are going, how their experience has been. So we keep track of all these funnels, and every quarter we just have a few of these prioritized for the team. We are very, very religious about and making sure that all these OKRs are on track and we achieve them. So I mean, for us, I think processes are important, but of course we have also seen that, let's say you enable the team to have access to all this data and provide them the sort of independence they need to deliver on them. And that's truly what makes this whole process super, super seamless and super enjoyable.
Yeah, you must have got like positive feedback. Did you get any negative feedback? No. Why are you doing this? Don't do this, etc.
Yeah, I think it's because of the initial positioning. We got some negative feedback, as in some kind of, I would not say negative feedback. So So when we approached these teachers in the beginning, right, the young artists who are super passionate about teaching, they were kind of taken back because they thought that we are somehow trying to replace a teacher.
Ah, right. Right? Yeah.
That's completely untrue because of our focus where we are completely on the 18 to 35 segment, which is not at all served under the current market scenarios. And of course, there is nothing that can really replace a teacher. Somebody who needs a teacher is a person who has to learn values and the whole cultural context around a music tradition, not just the skill of the music, right? We are not targeting that segment at all. So our target segments are very clear. And once we made that very clear with the teachers as well, there is nothing else that that came up for us.
Mm. Was there a breakthrough moment then?
This is when we developed a technology piece in last July and August, which is yet to go live. So we have opened up for a few beta users where we let them practice any song any song anywhere. Like, so they might have a file lying down on their mobile, or they might have a lesson sent from their teacher, something sung by their friend. So anything that they have access to, they can practice that, right? So we have released a feature with which they could do that. That was the moment when we saw users, superb happy. I mean, they are so thrilled to have that it suddenly liberates the potential of the world's content, right? So you have content everywhere around you, but suddenly you can learn everything in a very, very structured format on this app. So for us, that's the moment we thought, this is going to be truly scalable. We don't need to produce all the content for every music genre on the globe. We just need to put this technology piece in the hands of the people. Very, very, very key achievement. And that's the moment we truly felt a global product.
Yeah, global product, definitely. Used around the world. It was your first app, man. How did you find designing the app, man? The user interface, the user experience? That must have been quite challenging because obviously there's a lot to put in there, isn't there?
So one of the key challenges for us has been the landscape mode. So to sing anything, you need a future context of what you're going to sing, right? It's the same as playing on a piano, right? So you need that future context of what you're going to sing. And you need to have some bit of memory, the short-term recent memory of what you have just sung, how you have just sung that. In a portrait mode, which we are usually used to on the phone, it's very, very hard to provide that larger context to a user. So we had to resort to this landscape mode of practice on the app, and that has some repercussions because people are not used to holding their phones in a landscape mode. Mm. So that was one challenge which we still are struggling, but soon we'll have a breakthrough that will allow us to move to a portrait mode. So that has been one key challenge. The other has been that casual learners, right? So people who are learning songs, learning to sing for fun, they cannot be tied to typical rigid structures of learning, which is courses, a linear way of progressing through this material. So they need kind of an exploration that is very, very interesting and engaging. They need to have a moments of serendipity where they find something that they are not looking for, but still are happy to go and practice or sing that piece. Right? This happens often when we keep listening to content, right? When we keep listening to these songs, we jump in. We just jump in. We don't plan for that song to come in, right? So there are these consumption patterns that are drastically different of a casual learner from a very, very serious structured learner. And that's been our next challenge. And we are working on that, and we are super excited about what is coming up on Ria's in the coming 2 months.
Sounds exciting. I think you mentioned subscription model. What are your sort of pricing philosophies then? Are you sort of like undercutting the market, or are you going the other way?
I mean, we wanted to keep it as low as possible for letting in people, or letting in as many people as possible. So for us, service has been that this is going to be a technology-powered application, and this has to be super scalable from get-go, and it should reach every nook of the corner of the globe, and which means that this needs to be priced at a point where it is affordable to most college students, And probably people who are landing their first jobs. We really priced it at a point, for example, in India, it's 99 rupees per month, 999 per year, which is super affordable for anyone in these segments. So that's a thought process right now. And of course, there are more premium offerings coming and also Sachet-based pricing models coming up on the app very soon. So we are just, again, still experimenting, but our intent is very clear that we want to make it as accessible to people as possible, dominantly that college-going segment.
How are you getting people to subscribe then? Are you giving them like a free trial then, a free taster session, or are you going...
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, every day, I mean, the app is, of course, free to browse everything and access everything. Consume for listening, that is all free. We give 8 minutes of practice time for each user every day for free. And if they want to go beyond those 8 minutes per day, that's when they start paying a subscription.
In terms of the edtech scene in India, it is booming.
Correct. Yeah, in fact, this is one of the things that we have seen in the past 2 years, right? There is definitely a sea change in terms of the perception of online learning or self-learning, right? Not just for adults, but for kids as well. Maybe in another 6 months, we'll know how this tide is holding up, because this seems to be the third wave and things seems to be getting back again into a normal state.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, 6 months down the line, we'll truly know the state. But as of now, we see that there is a perception change about earlier when we talked about self-learning, this was typically seen as an adult-only arena, but that might change. So during this phase of 2 years, we have seen lots of parents calling us to help them let their child use Riyaz for learning to sing. So that tells us that there is something changing fundamentally, and we would like to see and take a call on that 6 months down the line.
And if someone's listening to this and they want to do an edtech startup, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, so for us, I mean, our learnings, I think, apply for most startups in terms of productization. I think focus is primary. We can't swallow everything in one go. We need to productize faster. We need to iterate faster. There is no silver bullet there. The faster we execute, the faster we succeed. So that goes without saying. And then I think any help that we need in terms of the early days, we get whatever help we can and move from there. We don't wait for the perfect setting to happen and take off. So I think that's another advice I would believe in.
What you like as a founder then?
Yeah, so I'm definitely a lot of a hands-on person. Being of the technology background, I get involved in engineering and product quite a lot, and that's definitely something I enjoy.
What's your tech stack then?
So all our backend runs serverless on AWS and Google's cloud. So most of it is spread across different databases, NoSQL and SQL databases, and of course the cloud storage, real-time databases and everything. So front end, we have both the apps done natively in Swift and Kotlin. Kept the backend serverless for a reason that this is the phase of the product when we have to iterate a lot more rapidly, and the briskness of changing things and moving things and just re-architecting things, this has to be done super fast. And that kind of flexibility, I think, is incredible to have at this point with all these technologies that are out there.
What excites you most then about what you're doing?
It's a good thing that we are not building the backend, we are not building the front end ourselves, right? So we are using a lot of existing technology to do that. The core thing that we are solving is for the self-learning singer out there. And for us, just every day waking up with that thought that how can I build a healthy habit for people around the world to learn singing? I think that's what excites all of us at Riyaz.
What would this company look like in 10 years' time then?
So we envision to be the most valuable music hobby community on the planet. We would like to see the entire journey of you as music happy, you having music hobby on Riyaz. So that's our goal, and we see that in the next 5 years we are headed to a place where we see at least 3 million paying users and 50 million active users on the platform, and that seems quite possible with what we are achieving.
Yeah, let's talk funding then, because obviously, you know, you've got 2 million downloads, so things are going well. Talk about that journey then, because you are venture funded.
Yeah, so in the initial days, it's been not easy in India to raise funds for a music tech company, dominantly because this is seen as something that people will never pay for. And luckily, we have proven all those assumptions wrong. And most of our paid users right now come from India. And they are recurring subscribers. So that notion is now fading away, luckily. So the first investor we had is an angel investor. There is a friend from school, Girish. There is another gentleman, Ram Selaratnam, who funded us with an angel investment in the beginning days. And then we had a small seed round from a gentleman in New York, Tom Werke. Then we have raised an institutional round with Multiply Ventures and Better Capital.
Mm-hmm. What have they said to you then in terms of goals? You know, where do they see the company? What do they want you to do in the next 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, the perception is definitely very similar to ours, that this has a $1 billion opportunity in terms of the reach that singing has across the world. Right, it's immense. Yeah, I mean, it's only a matter of time that we get there.
So you're pretty positive about.
Very positive. Good. Yeah, I mean, in fact, most of our investors are still invested, and they keep their share of the equity as we raise more money. So that's a very good indicator that most of them believe in what we are doing, and they are very aligned with the goals that we have.
So were you getting like downloads from day one then? Or was it like a slow number of downloads and it just went through the roof, as it were, or how was it?
So of course, most of the traffic, like I said, is very organic. And right now, we are still pretty much in the realms of Hindustani and Carnatic music. We see about 50K downloads a month. And it's improving each month, month over month. We have been doing about 30K 6 months down the line, like 6 months ago. And now we are doing about 50K a month. So that's picking up pace as well.
Cool. Last few questions then. Advice for our first-time founders, or what qualities should first-time founders have?
The pace and execution. I think that's where our focus has to be. I think first-time founders doesn't matter when you found a company, right? So basically, you start with that passion. So that fire anyway exists. But what matters at the end is that without a bias about what we come with, I mean, what kind of capabilities we come with or what kind of technology we come with, we should always stay very, very close to the customer's needs, customer's story, and execute fast to productize what we learn from that story. I think that's very, very crucial. Pace of execution and how we learn from customers. I think one of the key, again, the learnings has been that asking customers what they want is very, very wrong idea.
Has anything surprised you about your startup journey or entrepreneurial journey so far?
Well, of course, there are lots, right? I mean, at every turn, there are things that... So, in fact, in our journey, right, that kind of assumptions that we started with, everything is challenged, is changed, is iterated. There is a surprise in every step of the way. So again, going back to what I said, right? So our perception of market has just flipped on its head 1 year down the journey. So that's completely shaken up things that we were doing and made us focus on a segment that we were not aiming for. Along the way, like I said, the productization and the way we speak to our customers, everything, in fact, hiring people. So we value, of course, getting things done, but how those things are done equally matters, right? So you learn a lot along each of these steps in the journey. And there is a surprise in store for first-time founders at every turn.
Was there any point where you nearly ran out of money or you nearly gave up?
No, I think we were very, very clear that we want to get this dream out there, solve it. Before we call it a day. So that's been super clear. So whatever be the situation along the way, there have been days where we don't know whether we would exist the next month, right? Even during those moments, we were super clear that this dream has to come true. I mean, this is the time, and this has to be done.
And the dream has come through.
Of course. I mean, there's a long way, but of course, we are along the way.
But how would you sum up the journey so far then?
as intensive as it is pleasurable. So it's a roller coaster ride for sure. There are ups and downs along the way. And today, I mean, you feel you are on clouds today, but there are moments tomorrow that can pull you soon down. That way, I think this has been the period, last 2-3 years has been period in my life where it has been so very, very roller coaster ride like. And I think things are getting a lot more better for sure. As I gain more insights and experience from running the whole show, I think, of course, there's a long way to go. Until I go through that, I would not be able to say much about it.
In terms of singing, then let's talk singing. Then, how long does it take to become a decent singer? Then,
I mean, people sing for many reasons, right? So, I sing for relaxing, okay. Right? So, I don't sing for like becoming a Sonu Nigam in 2 years down the line. So that's not the goal. So people who sing want to improve their voices and sound better for many reasons. So for example, we have few like mid-level marketing or like mid-level managers who come to the app in good numbers. Their intent is very clear that they have just stepped into the role of managing people and their speaking skill is so bad. Now they want to improve the throw of their voice, the modulations in their voice, the diction, the clarity with which they speak, all of this with singing, right? So that's a fun way to do that. And there are, I mean, incredible journeys of these people, like micro journeys within the bigger 18 to 35 segment, where we see people come with different intents and make that possible.
I got to be honest, there's some terrible singers out there, aren't there? You know, when you watch them talent TV shows. Any tips for singing then? Obviously, use your app, but go and give us some tips. Give me your top tips for being a singer like yourself.
So I'm not in a place to give tips to singers, but for me, I'll tell you what worked for me, right? So listening a lot. I did not open my voice to sing before listening to those songs hundreds of times, like those nuances. So before even able to identify particular raga, for example, you have to listen to a few hundreds of hours of that music, those tracks. For me, listening is something that has worked out incredibly well for compounding your learning. And that is a skill I think even stellar gurus would recommend doing. So that's something that I would recommend everybody to, like, just listen to things that you would want to learn. Keep listening to them. Your brain is an amazing piece of gadget there. I mean, it just registers subconsciously things that you don't even believe.
Who are your favorite singers then?
My favorite singer is Mangalampally Balamurali Krishna. He's a Carnatic legendary singer. He was at an 84-year-old age, right? He was like a kid on the stage to watch. The kind of creativity, the kind of things he does with his voice and his knowledge about the Carnatic music forms, it's just amazing. For me, he was like a stellar artist.
Who was that woman who died? Apologies for my ignorance, but I'm sure there was an Indian singer who died.
Correct, Lata Mangeshkar. That week has been a sad week for us.
Was she like the number one singer? I know my mum was talking about it the other day, so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, she is like the queen of Bollywood in terms of singing. So, I mean, there is that shock was felt across the country and beyond.
Was she like a natural born singer then? Was she talented from day one or something?
So I'm sure you would find her in an interview saying that there is nothing like an inborn talent, right? So it's I think that's one of the common conceptions about music, that you have to be born with that. But it's not like that. I mean, even her at that stature, right? I mean, she's considered the queen of singing in Bollywood. She would do basic riyas every day. I mean, she would recommend that to anybody, even whether you are a star singer or a beginner, doesn't matter. You have to work on your voice. You have to keep it in shape, no matter where you are along the journey. Voice is just like any other instrument. And I think she is one of the exemplary persons to highlight this, that singing, you don't need to get it by birth. you want. I mean, you have to work on it to get that.
Would you, in terms of the future, then, would you like expand it out so you could like learn different instruments then? Or are you going to stick to singing?
So right now, Riaz even works for many melodic instruments, right, like violin, veena. You can, in fact, play any melodic instrument and it still works. Mm. But our focus has been on singing because, see, on instruments, there's few of them are fretted. Fretted instruments, you anyway have help for identifying where the notes are, course correcting your finger positions and all of that. But for voice, it's been very, very difficult to do that on your own. Mm. Of course, you need to eventually do that by your ear and by your judgment. But in the beginning, if you have that visual aid and if you have that sort of guidance to course correct you immediately and show you where you are, whether you are high, low with respect to the reference, that's super helpful. So for us, again, the focus has been that what are these instruments, including voice, that can benefit from this? Violin is one of those, just like voice, right? It's very difficult to get your finger positions because there are no frets. So we will focus on voice and ancillary instruments similar to that.
Right then, Gopal, thanks for coming to the show today. For people who want more information on the app, what must they do?
So they can go to Play Store or App Store, search for Riaz and download it and have fun.
Awesome. Gopal, thank you for coming on the show today. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Thanks for having
awesome
me on the show.
Cheers, mate. Thanks to Gopal for coming on the show today. I really enjoyed it. For more information, check out the Riaz app. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. I'll be back next week. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or you can tweet @IndianStartupSH, or you can go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Would love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.